Harper Audio presents The One Life Solution. Reclaim your personal life while achieving greater professional success. Written and read by Dr. Henry Cloud. Part 1, Foundations. Chapter 1, Identifying the Problem and the Solution. Maria, the CEO who can't pull the trigger. Maria is the CEO of a tech company and has a team reporting to her that has multiple functions, from finance to marketing and retail. She's ultimately responsible for both the performance of the business and for the culture within the organization. Profits have been good for several years, and because of that, she's been able to hide a problem that troubles her in her more reflective moments. Stan, one of her VPs, is a weak link in the team. She knows it, and so do others. A very nice guy, he's just not the kind of performer that the team needs in that position. The momentum they have experienced keeps the overall picture looking good enough to hide what everyone at that level knows to be true. Stan is over his head and should be replaced. Other team members resent the fact that he's there for two reasons. First, they feel like their efforts are making him successful and thus feel that the situation is not fair. But second, and more demoralizing, they know they could all be at a different level if Stan were replaced. They feel like they are being cheated of what all of them could have if a real star were in his place. So they feel deflated about where they are, resentful of Stan, who's such a nice guy, and resentful of Maria, who won't do anything about him. When I asked Maria why she couldn't fix the situation, she said, "I just can't pull the trigger with him. He's so nice. He's 55 years old, at the pinnacle of his career, and it would kill him. Where would he go? I don't know. I know I should do something, and I have to, but so far, I've just not been able to do it. I just keep putting off the inevitable." David, the manager who can't stand up to a bullying boss. David is a middle manager on an operations team. He is responsible for project management and keeping production schedules moving forward. As a result, he interfaces with many departments and several teams. He likes the complexity of his work, but at the same time, he experiences a lot of stress, as much of what he's held responsible for is out of his control. He lacks real authority over some of the people with whom he finds himself interdependent. His boss, Marion, does not understand this reality and is a bully. He goes off on David when schedules are not where they're supposed to be, berating him and not helping at all. After those interactions, no matter how motivated David was about the work itself, the company, or his own goals, he feels terrible about all of it, and sadly, mostly about himself. He gets sick over the fact that Marion has that much power over how he feels. Unfortunately, not only does it affect him, but David takes it home as well. Too often when he gets home, he's not able to shake their last interaction, and Marion has now entered into David's home and his marriage. Too many nights when he gets home, he's not as available to his wife and kids as he would like to be, as the crummy feelings about his work situation linger. Ryan, the MBA who can't manage his time. Simply put, Ryan is overwhelmed. He does not know how to stop the train or even how to slow it down. The hours he's putting in never seem to be enough. The projects seem to grow in size and number, and the quantity of it all is beginning to get to him. But that's not the worst part. As an MBA fresh from graduate school, he's accustomed to massive quantities of work. Hard work tires him out. But this is different. This work is wearing him down. Ryan feels as though he spends more and more time and energy on the things he cares less about and less time on the things he loves. There are more meetings and appointments and deadlines, which drain his energy as soon as he sees them on his calendar, than there are activities that energize him. He's finding that most of his time is spent doing things that do little to engage his passion, talent, vision, or even best skills and abilities. This is not why he went to grad school. Similarly, Ryan's personal life feels the same way. He and his wife often fall into bed and collapse. They remark about how it seems they never have time for each other and are not spending time doing the things they love to do together with the people they really love being with the most. Their lives, just as his work, have become a treadmill. His work is part of the problem, too. He's often working on email at night, taking calls at dinner, or checking his BlackBerry when they are out on a date or taking that walk they finally had time for. Ryan's wife frequently asks, "Do you have to do that now?" He feels like he has to, and then sometimes wonders why. His scariest thought is to project his current life ahead for 20 years. He envisions himself doing then what he's doing now, feeling like all he does is work and that it is somehow missing the mark.